I'm Mark.
And we're with you 7 nights a week. This is the live Sunday night edition.
What show does that? What show gives you 7 nights a week of live programming?
I don't know of another one, Mark.
There probably aren't too many.
We work really hard for our customers. And we love it when you share your opinions with us, too. As I mentioned, the call-in number 855-450-FREE. I do want to get started right away, Mark, on this story that's been all over the news recently for the past couple of days. It's very disturbing to me. It's got some racial overtones. It's a story about violence and justice really not being served, I think. And it's the story, of course, of Trayvon Martin. Have you heard about this?
Yes. It's a little boy, black, who got shot dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shot in the chest at close range.
For essentially being in the wrong neighborhood, it looked like.
Yeah. So basically what happened with this story, apparently there was a boy, 17-year-old boy, who was visiting his father in a gated community.
I thought he was younger than that. Okay, so he's a 17-year-old young man.
He was, right. I couldn't really call him a boy. You know, he's a young adult. He was visiting his father in this gated community, which is a predominantly white neighborhood, mm-hmm. but this was a black family living there.
Okay.
And his parents are black and he's black.
All right.
And he had a younger brother. I don't know how old his brother was, but maybe that was the detail about the age that we were wondering about. But anyway, so he went to this store. He was walking to a convenience store to get some candy for himself and his brother, and then apparently was walking back to his father's house. When this guy came out of nowhere, the captain of the neighborhood watch mm-hmm. for this community, and now neighborhood watch, you know, a lot of people are probably hearing that and saying, oh, neighborhood watch, that's great.
I was on the neighborhood watch in a community that I was in for some time, sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I can't say that I never stopped anybody to talk to them.
Yeah.
You know, hey, what's going on? You know, where are you from? That kind of thing.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
Nobody died in the course of my neighborhood watching, though, I must say.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty shocking to think that a situation could escalate from 0 to 60, basically, in just a few minutes, where this person is walking down the street. The captain of the neighborhood watch, George Zimmerman, sees him, and somehow it goes from that to Trayvon being shot in the chest. And I don't know exactly what happened, but apparently the 911 calls have been released. But what this guy said, the shooter, George Zimmerman, was that he felt suspicious of Trayvon because, well, he didn't say this, but the undertone is mm-hmm. that it's because he was black.
Well, I don't know if we can draw the conclusion, but I can see, you know, there are certainly some neighborhoods where a black person would look out of place. There are neighborhoods where a white person would look out of place. Now, I don't think these things are, you know, necessarily right and certainly not the reason that a person should be shot in the chest, but
no
I can
way.
See, you know, why a person that he's not familiar with seeing who might stick out in his neighborhood would be somebody he would want to talk to. However, I want to know how he went from, hey, how are you? Where are you from? You know, those kind of, you know, sort of probing yet innocent questions to,
yeah, the gun's coming out, yeah. I wonder if he even asked him those kind of probing questions to begin with. I mean, from what the neighbors have said. Yeah, yeah. So from what the neighbors said, this guy, George Zimmerman, was a loose cannon. And he had some anger issues.
It sounds like it, right?
It definitely sounds like it, yeah. He had some anger issues. He had been known to have some altercations with other neighbors before, mm-hmm. but somehow he was in charge of the neighborhood watch. And, you know,
well,
I wonder.
Well, mostly it's because nobody wants to do it.
I would probably agree with that, yeah. I certainly don't want to be the neighborhood watch director, but
think about it for a second. I mean, you know, what it's like to be the neighborhood watch director. You're going to go out 365 days out of the year and 365 days worth of nothing. And then there's going to be one time every 5 years that you're going to find something that means something. You're probably going to harangue, 15 or 20 people, young people walking down the side of the road.
Yeah.
At least this is what it was. This would have been what it was like, just from the reports I heard in my neighborhood
watch.
Well,
but this brings up the question of whether a neighborhood watch, as an official organization, is even necessary in all cases. I mean,
I think it could be run better and run worse in different neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Some neighborhoods are quite safe because of their neighborhood watches.
Sure.
They're run by, you know, people that are vigilant and understand how these things should be done. This sounds like somebody who. I don't know.
He was looking for an excuse to go off on someone. That's what it seemed like anyway. And, you know, when I think of a neighborhood watch, what I, the picture that I have in my mind, I know it's often more official than this, but what I think of is a bunch of retirees walking their dogs, and, you know, if they see anything weird or people they don't recognize, you know, they just keep their eye out.
That's the very best thing to have, is to network with those folks, the people who take the walks and look at the neighborhood.
You have nothing but time.
Right. You take a look at, you know, those are the people. What you really want a neighborhood watch, the head of a neighborhood watch guide to do is to have, you know, the network of those people. Hey, you know, here's my cell phone number. If you see something strange or interesting, give me a call.
Yeah.
Then you've got, you know, however many dozen eyes on the ground watching for things, and then you can go out and take a look whenever that is, you know, that's the case.
Right. So. Yeah. So, I mean, I think a lot of people who are liberty-minded maybe think of a neighborhood watch as a great thing because it's presenting an alternative to the services, so-called services, mm-hmm. that the state offers, right? If you're not happy with how the police handle situations, you know, maybe you can not necessarily become a vigilante or anything because it seems sort of like this what this guy did in a negative sense, but mm-hmm. you could at least sort of offer a little bit of chance for the community to come together and help take a more active role in their own safety instead of completely relying on the police, where, as we know, they have no obligation to answer 911 calls if they have some reason for not doing so. And they're often not that reliable with their services.
And how fast they're going to get there and all these things. I think that, you know, the first line of defense really should be a neighborhood watch. And sadly, when you have neighborhood watches, you know, one time out of 10,000 or 100,000, you're going to get somebody who, I'm not going to say like this because I don't know what the situation was that happened with Mr. Zimmerman. But what it sounds like this is, I mean, you know, certainly there are some folks out there that want very badly to have been police officers and whatever reason they weren't qualified, which, you know, if they can't make what appear to be relatively low standards for some police departments out there, if they can't have made those, then it's really scary what, you know, why it is, you know, that they would be in charge of a neighborhood watch.
Yeah. And there's an important detail here that we haven't gotten to mention yet. That is that George Zimmerman hasn't been charged.
Okay. Yeah.
There were witnesses. I have a story here from an eyewitness boy who saw this happen. He's 13 years
old. Where was this? What state?
It was in Florida.
Now, Florida has the new Stand Your Ground law, which I believe has passed here in New Hampshire also, which is if you feel threatened, mm-hmm. then you're allowed to stand your ground. You do not have to retreat from a situation where you are being threatened.
Wow.
So I don't know what feel threatened versus threatened is. I mean, threatened means you've been threatened.
Well, and
feel threatened means you could, I'm standing next to a black man and they're scary. Like, it could be anything.
Exactly.
Frankly, I have felt threatened by the size of other individuals before. I mean, you know, that does not mean I should be able to shoot them.
Right.
So.
Exactly. And I think, you know, we really have to question what role the racism or maybe underlying prejudices might have played in this, you know, because, I mean, it seems pretty straightforward. This person, Trayvon, was completely unarmed. He was carrying nothing except a bag of Skittles.
Right.
The 911 calls have been released, and you hear a shot, and then a 17-year-old boy begging for his life, says the family attorney. Then you hear a second shot. So it seems pretty blatant that...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, it's horrifying.
So he, like, ended his suffering kind of thing.
Yeah, I can't even think of the words. I mean... I'm really scared that...
So, yeah, I mean, you know, if a man's begging for his life, it's difficult to imagine that same person being threatening enough to have merited a second shot.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, you know, it's...
Let's say
he was being threatening towards the gentleman. I'm just trying to imagine what could have happened.
Yeah.
If he was being threatening towards Mr. Zimmerman, and then he was shot, what could he have done after the first shot, while begging for his life, which is recorded by the 911 call, to have merited the second shot? And what are the what are the police doing here to serve justice?
Yeah, it seems like not much. 855-450-FREE. How can justice be served for Trayvon's family? Give us a call. This is Free Talk Live.
Available now for news alms from Raja Mojo. Raja Mojo. That's RajaMojo. Raja Mojo.
I am the Dirty Eye!
Mojo.
Everybody knows the game is rigged. The poor stay poor, the rich stay rich.
Four new songs from Raja Mojo. Buy them today at Amazon, iTunes, Napster, and at a discount at cdbaby.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
So you're a maker of something. Woodcrafts, fishing lures, glass designs, jewelry, purses, perfumes, goat's milk, soap. Whatever it is, you made it here in America. Now you're eager for people to buy your products right here locally, instead of buying competing products made on the other side of the world, right? Then you need to check out localmakers.com. Support America. Buy and sell locally at localmakers.com. Doesn't matter if you're a home-based business or a major manufacturer. Localmakers.com offers an easy way to connect with customers within your local community, as well as across the U.S., simply by entering a zip code. And there's no cost to join. So if you're a maker who needs buyers, go to localmakers.com and stock your products on one of our shelves. Localmakers.com, promoting, preserving, and supporting your neighbor's manufacturing businesses.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. UtopiaSilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now UtopiaSilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details on your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Dial in at 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
It's the Sunday night edition of Free Talk Live. Welcome back to the show. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Mark.
And you can call in with your thoughts. We've been discussing the shooting of Trayvon Martin. Terrible case of injustice that I think is really important to talk about.
Well, we're not sure if it's injustice at this point, but it certainly has
a
funny feel to it.
Yeah.
It doesn't look good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard for me to imagine what could have occurred. That would be, you know, we'll get into it in a second. That
absolutely.
Would have caused this to be justice. I'm just, you know, I'm really kind of stunned by it all. But first, the state owns the land, but they don't own the water. To be free today, you'd need a boat. And not just any boat, a life yacht. Life Yacht's an idea for a stable catamaran as big as a house that purifies its own water, generates its own power, and can grow at least some of its own food. It has a shallow draft to be able to get a four-wheel drive car or SUV on board and off onto shore, onto, say, a boat ramp or something like that. With a life yacht, you could live free of nearly any government intrusion or taxes and have a seashore home anywhere in the world. You can be involved for $1,000 and the commitment of as little as 8 months. To find out more, visit ericksoncouncil.com. It's ericksoncouncil.com. And you can see a banner at freetalklive.com. It's a picture of a sailboat with the hydrofoil sails. ericksoncouncil.com.
All right. Thanks, Mark. And, you know, if I were Trayvon's family, I might want to get away, too, from the U.S. and all these crazy shooters that...
I don't need this.
Life. Yeah, I mean, it seems pretty... You were saying that maybe it's not so cut and dried, like we don't really know what happened, but...
I hate to jump to conclusions, but...
I do, too, but there's a transcript of what happened, though. I mean, there's the 911 calls that... This guy Zimmerman, you know, some confrontation happened, apparently. Then he called 911, and everything... After that point, including the shooting, the fatal shooting, was recorded on the 911 calls, and the family was completely devastated to hear happening.
You know, one thing I like, it's been called, the camera's been called the new gun, is, you know, guns really are a cut and dry situation. Mm-hmm. If this guy would have pulled out a camera, say for whatever reason, whatever incident was going on with this young man, and mm-hmm. I don't know. I have no idea what was going on. You know, if this guy could pull out a camera and begin recording his situation with the young man rather than, you know, having pulled out a gun and shot him, I mean, you know, I don't know. Sometimes you got to pull out a gun and sometimes you got to shoot him, but chances are of that being very slim in most situations.
Yeah, and especially with an unarmed 17-year-old.
Well, we don't, you know, I don't know that he knew that he was unarmed, but what did he fire the second shot for while the guy was begging for his life is what I just don't understand.
Yeah.
Often, with today's medicine, people can survive a gunshot wound. I was in prison with a guy who had 5 of them, and, you know, from one situation.
It depends on where it is.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Sometimes a gunshot wound's fatal. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this guy had the opportunity to beg for his life. He didn't die immediately, so he had the opportunity to beg for his life. They didn't find a weapon. The 911 call recorded a young man begging for his life. What could that reason for that second shot have been? It just sounds like murder.
Yeah, it sounds like somebody
really
who
should never have been touching a gun.
Absolutely. Someone who was looking for an excuse to fly off the handle, maybe had some problems of his own. And I want to read this eyewitness account, too. It's not just the 911 tapes, but there was actually somebody present who saw this. There's a boy, Austin McLendon. I don't know how old. He's in eighth grade, so he's probably around 13
plus
years
five,
old.
13, yeah.
Yeah. So... Austin was standing less than 20 yards away from Martin when he was shot the night of February 26th. He didn't see much that night, but he says he can't shake the screams for help that he heard or the thunderclap of gunfire that nearly shook him from his shoes. He's been arguing with his siblings more than usual and saying that he's been angry at school. The teachers are saying he seems distracted and consumed at school.
Hmm.
So he's troubled by this. And I don't blame him. If he saw a fatal shooting...
Yeah, this
somebody is about your age and your color. I mean,
PTSD.
Yeah.
Austin is black also?
Yes, okay. Austin is black.
All right.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
so two,
you know,
two
apparently,
black. Yeah.
You know, the idea here is that what we're led to believe is this is a largely white neighborhood. And, you know, I can see how somebody who's in charge of neighborhood watch sees somebody who clearly doesn't belong in the neighborhood. But there's an awful lot of black people in this neighborhood to be an all-white neighborhood, isn't there?
Exactly. And I don't know.
And I don't think you should just execute somebody who happens to be a slightly different ethnicity that comes
into
your neighborhood either.
No, of course not. Yeah, but, I mean, I think that if there's any lesson we can draw from this, I mean, I don't know what justice is going to be served by charging this guy and putting him in jail, because everybody has to pay for it. The cops aren't even doing that. They're refusing to charge him right now. But
in old times, somebody, a certain amount of cattle or pigs or sheep would have been required for a homicide.
You're talking about restitution, right?
Yeah, some kind of, you know, this is how things were done at one point. And now the suggestion is that all of us should have to bear the responsibility of paying for this person's incarceration to the tune of $50,000 to $80,000 a year, whatever it might be.
Paying to punish him.
This family.
But punishing the perpetrator doesn't do anything to give anything back to the family who's been really hurt by this situation. And I know that they could never completely be made whole for what has happened. You know, it's impossible to make up for losing a child.
Sure.
Anybody who's ever had children or not knows that. But at least they could make some attempt, you know, to do something for them rather than just punishing this guy, which doesn't do anybody really any good.
Yeah, it doesn't, really. I mean, you know, there's...
And it seems like they're going the route of sort of trying to shame him, because there's been a lot of news coverage and about this story in the media.
It sounds pretty shameful.
It does. And I bet you a lot of people who are reading these articles about the whole situation are thinking, oh, this guy, George Zimmerman, he's just such a bad person. You know, they're thinking really negative thoughts about him.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Do you think that's going to rehabilitate him in any way if he has a problem? Is it going to help him deal with his anger issues? Is it going to prevent this from happening again? I don't know.
I don't know. Public shaming is a pretty strong thing. I don't know. You know.
But to shame people into good behavior, it seems to me, doesn't work.
I think sometimes it certainly can work. I mean, you know, people tend to react to shame in a manner where they begin, you know, behaving well. I don't know what motivated this guy to do what he did in the first place. And it sounds like he has some underlying issues. I don't know if they're racism or anger or what his...
It definitely seems like there was a racist undertone to this.
It's a white guy and a black kid.
Actually, I've seen a picture of Zimmerman, and I don't know. I can't really tell.
Okay.
Because race is kind of arbitrary anyway, right?
But all right.
He looks like he might be Hispanic.
Zimmerman.
I don't know if that makes a difference.
You
never know. But it doesn't really matter anyway. I mean, it's just a tragedy.
The
and I don't
did
really
say it was a largely white neighborhood.
Right. Yeah, and that certainly contributes to it too, because I think that a lot of people have that idea that there might be some skepticism of them folks don't look like us, right? And that leads to fear, and fear leads to people pressing the panic button, right? And doing irrational things that they wouldn't normally do, especially when they're thinking of the other person as not like me.
Yeah.
Right?
Often it's easier to wage war on the person, on the other.
Yeah,
you know? And
exactly.
That's, you know, not the one like us.
And I don't blame his family for going this route and trying to raise public awareness
apparently
about what happened.
Apparently the justice out of the cops.
Exactly. So let us know what you think. How could justice be served in this instance? It's 855-450-FREE. We'll be back with more Free Talk Live coming up.
Attention, information in this one-minute message could save your life. Don't wait for the next emergency to happen. Act now to be prepared. Now, more than ever, civilians and communities must communicate with family, friends, and neighbors in the event of civil unrest, natural disasters, or other emergencies. That's why there's CivilDispatch.com. CivilDispatch.com is a universal system that can be used for a wide array of urgent notification alerts. Weather emergencies, civil unrest, emergency responders, amber alerts, school or business closings, any need-to-know situation. CivilDispatch.com is an emergency dispatch communication system, allowing anyone to quickly and easily send and instantaneously track emergency email and text alert notifications. CivilDispatch.com gives you the power of enterprise alerting without the enterprise cost. Don't find yourself unprepared. Learn more and become a member at CivilDispatch.com. That's CivilDispatch.com, civilian emergency dispatch system. Peace through preparedness.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you, too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
What is the most abundant resource on Earth? Water. It's essential for sustaining life, but it's not always the most available. When disaster strikes, water quickly vanishes from store shelves, like it did during 9/11, Katrina, Japan, and in Joplin. 3 days without water and your body begins to shut down. Don't risk being without an abundant supply of water when the next disaster hits. Get a FlowJack hand well pump. The affordable FlowJack drops right into almost any well and is easy to install without having to remove the existing pump, giving you immediate access to plenty of cool, clean water. You could risk your family's health on a limited supply of stored water, or you could be prepared with the reliable, affordable FlowJack backup hand pump kit delivered to your door for only $3.99 complete. See how it works at flowjack.com, spelled FLOJAK.com. Be sure to spell FLOJAK.com or call 855-4-FLOJACK. That's 855-435-6525. Proudly made in America. FlowJack hand well pumps. Peace of mind in a box.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in now, 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. Welcome back to the show. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Mark.
We're glad to have you with us this evening. If you'd like to call us and bring up whatever's on your mind, we'd be happy to take your call at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And if you want to watch us live during the show, you can always do that at cam.freetalklive.com. Mark's giving a little beauty queen wave to the camera right now. Very elegant. But if you want to see it, you'll have to tune in to cam.freetalklive.com. You can also hear up-to-the-minute audio of the show over there. And Mark, did you have something you wanted to share with the audience first?
That's right. Before we get into this? For camping, hunting, survival, or shooting gear, and you want to get the best prices, and who doesn't want to get the best prices, on name brands, ManVentureOutpost.com's the one for you. They've got ammunition. You know, lots of people stocking up on ammunition right now. If you're stocking up on ammunition, you want to get it at the best price.
You're going to need that when the big one comes.
You never know, right?
It's true. It's a good thing to have around.
I mean,
I wasn't kidding.
And, you know, 22 longs, even if for whatever reason there's some kind of collapse and people seem to be predicting such a thing, it'd be nice to be able to go out and get some meat, and 22 long rounds would probably be good for that. They've got knives, scopes, binoculars, laser sights, tactical flashlights, fish finders, boating equipment. They've got their family-owned and members in good standing of the Better Business Bureau, and some prices are so low they can't even be mentioned on the air. You can get an additional 5% off with coupon code FTL, that's FTL as in Free Talk Live, and get it quick. Get it from ManVentureOutpost.com. We've got a link over there at Free Talk Live if you need to. It's coupon code FTL at ManVentureOutpost.com.
All right, Mark. Well, something pretty disturbing happened yesterday. Yesterday was the six-month anniversary of the start of the Occupy protests in New York City. And do you remember this when it happened? I guess it was...
It seemed like it was longer than
September.
6 months, but okay.
Yeah, it seems like it's been longer to me, too.
And pretty much everybody thought that the winter was going to take care of Occupy.
Yeah, but it didn't.
Apparently not.
In a lot of places, they stuck around. And, you know, of course, it's probably more difficult in a place like Boston or New York City to hang out when it's snowing out. This did happen to be a mild winter,
perhaps,
though.
It was a mild winter. Perhaps God likes the Occupy movement. Much to the chagrin of the...
You know what they say, Mark? All prayers are answered. Sometimes the answer is no.
Right. Sometimes the answer is... The answer is the last thing the United States needs is Rick Santorum. That's really what God's trying to say with this mild winter for Occupy.
How can you say something if you don't exist, really? But
okay.
Anyway, I've got this article here from the Huffington Post talking about the Occupy six-month anniversary protest ending with Zuccotti Park arrests. There was a big crackdown. Dozens of police officers in New York cleared the park where the Occupy movement was born 6 months ago and made several arrests after hundreds of protesters returned in an anniversary observance and defiantly resisted calls to clear out. They defiantly resisted. Oh, they didn't move. They didn't jump when you said how high.
Defiance is not doing what I say
things.
When I say it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Some demonstrators locked arms and sat down in the middle of Zuccotti Park near Wall Street after police announced on a bullhorn at around 11:30 p.m. Saturday that
now,
the
as
park
I understand it, they changed some of the rules at Zuccotti Park. It used to be, you know, like, okay to sleep there and stuff like that. Now mm-hmm. the new rules are no sleeping at Zuccotti Park.
Yeah.
And so things have changed, and that's essentially what they're trying to do to, you know, stop all
but
this.
But people
stuff.
Would still camp there, right? But they just wouldn't sleep, right? They would take these shifts or something like that.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what I heard.
Now they don't want any tents. They want no kind of structure or that kind of thing. So they've changed the rules in order to make the Occupy movement impossible or less, you know, less easy to put forth what they want to put forth. And you know, I'm certainly not with everything that the Occupy movement has to say. And I feel that there's, you know, maybe could have prosecuted their situation better than they have. But at the same time, you know, you are the folks that believe this whole thing about the right to peaceably assemble and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're going to have this public space,
upholding and defending the Constitution, right?
If you're going to have this public space, and by the way, Zuccotti Park is actually a, you know, privately maintained park.
Yeah, that's open to the public.
That's open to the public. But let's understand why that was. It's because it was, you know, the city of New York mandated that this company put it out there. So
because they gifted a bunch of land to the company, right? Didn't
right.
the city own the land and they gave it to this company? So just another example of the privileges that the state grants to large corporations.
Right, and the occupiers would not have been able to occupy a public park, and they, you know, the rules at Zuccotti Park made it easier for them to occupy, and then they, now mm-hmm. they changed the rules. So remember the right to peaceably assemble. The right to peaceably assemble. I mean, this was what the Constitution's supposed to put forth. And hey, I got a recommendation. Don't make people so mad that they want to rise up against you. You know?
Exactly. Well, I mean, the right to peaceably assemble hasn't been intact for a long time. I mean, every year there was a Democratic or Republican convention, usually the Republican, because it's maybe the lefties that tend to protest a little bit more. I'm not saying that in a derogatory sense, just people who identify with leftist views may be more likely to protest a Republican convention. But maybe. I remember that, you know, there was horrible police brutality on these crowds, which were peaceful.
What draws to my mind is what they call the bonus war. This was the situation where World War One vets mm-hmm. were camping out in Washington, D.C. on the Mall, and they were demanding what they felt was theirs. This was during the Depression. And
they, listening to some hardcore history or something?
This is hardcore history.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they wanted what they felt was due to them. The government had promised them certain benefits when they had gotten old, and they wanted them now. It's the middle of the Depression. Cough it up. We put our lives on the line. We went there a million strong and fought your war over in Europe for nothing. Nothing. And then they went there and they demanded their stuff from Washington. Washington, D.C. responded by sending MacArthur and Patton out and with a cavalry charge and, setting these people's tents on fire, killing some of them. I mean, loose the United States military on former United States military members asking for, their recompense.
And do you know what the public reaction to that was? Were they outraged that this happened?
You know, there's lots of different people felt lots of different things.
Yeah, as always.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's in a democratic society, people tend to be like, well, we'll take care of this the next time around.
I just wonder if back in the day, you know, it was a little more common knowledge that there is this right, so-called, supposedly enshrined in the Constitution.
Yeah.
To peaceably assemble. I don't know. Anyway, so Mark, I want to ask you, I mean, we can sort of take this as maybe a little bit of a retrospective on the Occupy movement. What do you think has changed since the start of it? I mean, do you think that they've gotten anything that they set out to get? I mean, I know it was a little bit, it's a very diverse movement, right? A lot of people have grievances. Some people, you know, look to the government as a solution to their problems, and I certainly don't think the government has really given them anything that they've asked for.
No, I don't think they've gotten anything that they went out, set forth to get. That doesn't mean that I think that they're a bad movement and that they should go away. I think it means they haven't gotten yet anything that they were supposed to get.
Well, from the political system, although I would probably argue that they definitely have raised public awareness about the issues that they were concerned about,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
I mean, everybody knows what the 99% and the 1% are now. It's
right.
Like become a cultural...
Who doesn't want the people that were responsible for the great crash held in some way responsible?
Yeah.
You know, some way responsible.
Yeah.
Now, I'd say that the people responsible for it have been held responsible. Those people, the American people, who have allowed the politicians in Washington to usurp more power, hand it over to their rich banker friends.
Allowed them, though? I mean... Are you making the argument that eternal vigilance is the price of liberty, really? Like, are you constantly keeping an eye on the stock?
That's what they told me. Those same people that told me that crap are the ones that allowed this to happen.
It doesn't mean it's true. How are you responsible if they're trying to usurp all this power? How are you responsible?
I'm not responsible. I don't believe that nonsense.
Okay. Just wanted to clear that up because it sounded like you were saying that
you believe that nonsense. Where is your pitchfork? Why is your torch not lit? I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, if you believe that eternal vigilance is the price of liberty, then where is your pitchfork and torch? Because, frankly, nothing's happened.
If you have thoughts on this, maybe you're at the Occupy movement, or maybe you're in jail because of the Occupy movement, and you can't call us in that case. But if you have something to say about this, we'd love to hear your thoughts at 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. There's more Free Talk Live coming up.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Extend your life.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendivite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendivite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
These are strange days indeed, from economic turmoil to weather-related events, and yes, even power outages. Hi, everybody. Jason Lewis here. Let me tell you why I use WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com provides the most affordable and complete ready-made meals for emergency preparedness and outdoor use. Their entrees like pasta Alfredo, savory stroganoff, and apple cinnamon cereal carry a 25-year shelf life and are prepared in minutes simply by adding water. They even provide great-tasting a la carte items like freeze-dried fruits, vegetables and desserts to ensure that you have more nutrition and energy when you need it most. Visit WiseFoodStorage.com today to request a free entree sample and see for yourself why they are the best in the business. For a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get no-cost shipping on any order. That's WiseFoodStorage.com or call 1-855-FOODWISE and be sure to mention the promo code Lewis for a free sample and free shipping on any order. Be wise and be ready with WiseFoodStorage.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. Welcome back to the show. Free Talk Live is a show where you can call in about whatever's on your mind at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. It's Stephanie with you tonight.
And Mark.
And would like to invite you to check out the website over at freetalklive.com. It's a wonderful resource. They've got tons and tons of archives, more than anybody could possibly listen to. Well, I don't know. Maybe somebody should take us up on that challenge and see if they can listen to all 5 years plus of archives that are posted there.
Well, it depends on what period of time you're talking about. Lots of people have decided, you know,
until they get sick of it. A lot of people
that have said, you know, I remember when, you know, such and such, and they'll name some incident on the show or, you know, when we moved to New Hampshire, when my name used to be Manwich back in the day.
Yes, I mean, who is this mysterious Manwich you speak of?
That's right. I had a nom de, what is the French for radio?
Nom de plume.
Nom de radio.
Yes, we can say that.
I had an alias for the radio, and it used to be Manwich. And
then there was some intellectual property fears surrounding that, right, Mark?
That's correct. The show got big enough that there was concern by people who were involved with the show that that ConAgra Foods might not like me using the term Manwich as my nom de plume.
Well, that's only because you were getting more famous than them, so
I don't know about all that.
Well, we may talk about intellectual property issues a little bit later on tonight. Yahoo has been suing Facebook over some patents that they allege they've infringed, but I think we have a caller on the line who'd like to discuss something that came up a little earlier on this evening's show, the shooting of Trayvon Martin in Florida, black young man shot by a neighborhood watch captain in a predominantly white neighborhood. So, Vinny in Corning, California, you're on the line with us. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I was hearing your rendition of the development that occurred with the situation there in that gated community in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it seems from what seems, if you piece a story together here, it seems like, by most measures, it seems that the person that's responsible for the suspect, his name is Zimmerman.
Yes, George Zimmerman.
It seems that he exhibited, for the most part, negligent and reckless behavior. You know, in other words, he's
it does seem that way.
Culpable.
It seems culpable. It seems like it.
Yeah, and you have to wonder why. The one thing I haven't heard much about in all of the stuff that I've been reading about this is, you know, what's the hidden agenda that the cops have? Why do they not want to charge him? What do you think, Vinny?
Well, I'm going to retract for a moment. From the circumstances, you have a case of involuntary manslaughter here. It could be borderline on voluntary or involuntary, but it seems that because of the situation where it seems like he exhibited negligent and reckless.
Are you saying that you think maybe his mental status was altered or something?
Well, it seems that just negligence, he just didn't really realize the right sense of you know,
safety.
I think we're beyond manslaughter here. I think you're up to murder. And the reason is because, you know,
he's begging for his life.
There was
on
a second shot,
call.
And the, you know, so the, you have a situation. So first, you have a situation which may, you know, was a you know, maybe the guy made a bad choice, maybe he was threatened. Who knows what happened? So then, but then the situation moves to the young man is shot. He's begging for his life, and both of these things we know to be true because the 911 call recorded them.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the Zimmerman guy shoots him again.
Is that right?
To me, that's an act of murder.
It seems that the police, that the law enforcement, for some reason, are dragging their feet on this case.
Yeah.
And definitely, I think this requires more scrutiny and investigation, you know.
I agree. And apparently, according to this recent article just from yesterday, I believe, apparently the grand jury in the area has gotten the records of the case so that they can decide whether they want to charge him. But I'm sure that'll happen quickly, right? We're being sarcastic.
But I don't know if quick really is necessary in this circumstance. He hasn't killed before. He's not out running amok. So, you know.
Maybe not, but I just feel so
bad for
this family.
Maybe the cops are being careful. But I'll tell you, it's not uncommon for them to arrest other people and put them in jail and wait for the grand jury to indict.
Yeah.
But, you know, on behalf of Zimmerman, you know, whatever his defense is, I would say it seems like I would call it the imperfect self-defense.
Imperfect self-defense.
What do you mean?
So what does that mean?
Describe that to me.
I mean, what I'll point out here is that he may be incorrect. I mean, it's that he may be wrong, in his view that he was required to.
So he was mistaken. He thought his life was being threatened, but it really wasn't, and he was mistaken. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it seems there is an element of aggression in here.
Yeah, you're looking at an important part of this, which is Florida has just passed this, no retreat law. I can't remember what it's called.
Stand your ground law.
Castle
doctrine.
This should be very interesting to see how this goes. And I think this is an important aspect of it.
So you
think
that
the biggest problem
is
that he shot twice, not once.
Mark, you think that this new law has contributed to the cops not wanting to charge Zimmerman?
Absolutely.
See, I think there's a huge double standard here that deserves pointing out, because if this was a black man who had shot a white teenager, don't you think he'd be charged? Don't you think they'd be prosecuting him to, like, the fullest extent of the law? I mean, it's just the same thing that used to happen in the South, where they wouldn't try the murders of black people. You know, juries would acquit white murderers when it was clear. They wouldn't try rapes of black women, but if it was a white woman, they would. I mean, and so it was like, there's a real double standard.
I'm not
going
to make the accusation, but I tend to sort of feel that the police are being more careful with this situation because it's a white person who may have more means for a lawyer or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I strongly agree with you on that. That seems to be something very suspicious here.
Yeah, and I think, like, we don't even have to speculate on this particular case, because all we have to do is, like, look at the racial breakdown of people who are in prison in this country. And Vinny, thank you so much for your thoughts tonight. I do appreciate that. If you look at the statistics about who's in prison and jail in this country, it's very biased. I mean, it's not.
It has
congruent.
To be safer. As a law enforcement officer, if whatever repercussions might happen, and I'm going to say that they tend to be somewhat limited,
mm-hmm.
it has to be safer for them to arrest a minority, specifically a black person, than it is a white person. Now, you know, this is in a upper middle class neighborhood, a gated community. I'm just guessing it's upper middle class because it's gated.
I assume that, yeah.
And so therefore they're being careful about this whole circumstance. I don't think they're as careful when you're talking about the hood,
sometimes they don't even want to go to poorer areas of town. The police don't just simply avoid it.
They don't feel safe.
I suppose that's it, but, you know, I don't know if that's a good thing for the people who live there, maybe, because often when police don't feel safe, they're more prone to do violence inappropriately.
When one feels threatened, one is more likely to react physically.
Yeah, that's a universal.
Sure, and that's absolutely true. I don't know. I'm going to be interested to see what's going to happen. There's probably so much press on this that the police are going to end up charging Zimmerman.
I bet that was the family's goal in this situation, was to just create so much pressure that they have to put the charges on him.
But and like I think you said, yeah. What is society, how is society going to benefit from this guy going to prison for 10 years? And I have to say, probably not for much. I mean, you know, you might feel better. Hey, this is some racial justice. Excellent. Now what?
Yeah, but that, and what know, about...
He's going to cost $1 million to house during that period of time, yeah. And I and this family and everybody else has to pay for it. Actually, I don't live in Florida. This would be a state charge, so just when we go down there, we'll pay tourist taxes. Would we be
they have to get it from somewhere, right?
It's coming from somewhere. And, you know, maybe Florida will be behind California in getting their bailout from the federal government, and we can, you know, expect then everybody's paying for it.
Oh, boy. Yeah, well... The thing that I have a problem with is that, like, the way our justice, so-called justice system works does nothing to really attempt to compensate the family. That's the point that I really want to drive home in all of this.
Yeah, so. And, you know, I mean, when you look at historically how justice has been meted out, I think that there's ways to attempt to... you know, recompense the family in some way. I mean, I just think that that would be better. I'm not saying that I don't think that people should go to prison, mm-hmm. but I do think that... If folks were, you know, able to work in prison and then, you know, send some money to the family, whatever it was that they were able to do, you know, and the family being more involved in what is the punishment. Because in Florida, if he gets second-degree murder, he's going to be, you know, there's going to be guidelines. And, you know, those guidelines are what those guidelines are, 17 to 22 years, whatever they are. And that's what he's going to get somewhere in there.
Yeah.
The family has nothing to say about it, whether or not they think you should get 17 or 22 or, you know, less than that and some restitution.
I imagine there's a big variation in what people would sort of think was an appropriate recompense for
them. Some people would want him killed.
855-450-FREE is our phone number. That's 855-450-3733. Free Talk Live is coming back with more when we return the massacre in Afghanistan.
In every age, a technology is created that upends the foundations of society. The wheel, the printing press, the internet. Now, in a world sliding into financial chaos, a new technology is changing the way monetary systems work around the world. It is called Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a new form of money, controlled not by banks, governments, or corporations, but through mutual commerce between free individuals. To learn more, visit WeUseCoins.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. Are you looking for a concealed carry holster? Crossbreed Holsters is the home of the world-famous Super Tuck, the most comfortable concealed carry holster on the market today. Try one out and see how truly discreet and comfortable carrying concealed can be. And find out why we call it the ugliest holster you'll ever love. We are the standard others try to imitate.
Get the original. Get your Super Tuck at CrossbreedHolsters.com. Again, that's CrossbreedHolsters.com.